Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Armana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
While the children leave, we've been looking at the parables of Jesus, Jesus' teachings. And specifically his parables. Jesus spoke a lot of parables during his time on earth. And most of the parables, as a matter of fact, most of Jesus' teaching was all around this one concept of the kingdom of God. Explaining to us the reality of the kingdom and what it is and how it works. Jesus started his ministry with this very simple message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus is saying you must change the way you think. Literally, repentance means change the way you think that will lead to a change of behavior. You must completely change the way you think because God's kingdom has come, and God's kingdom is completely different to the kingdom of this world. And the reason why Jesus said the kingdom has come near is simply because the king was there. And therefore, with same boldness, I can declare to you this morning that we need to change the way we think because God's kingdom is here. Why? Because the king is here. And the king is here, even, I want to declare, even greater than 2,000 years ago. Because he's here. He says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with us. And he's poured out his spirit within us. So even to a greater measure is the kingdom a reality now than it has ever been before. And Jesus' words more applicable than ever before. So Jesus, whenever he started off a parable, he would always start off with the kingdom of God is like. And then he started to explain a principle of the kingdom, which is so relevant to us today. And because we live in this kingdom. We live in this kingdom. So this morning I want to continue with this, with this parables of Jesus. And I want us to turn to Mark chapter 4. We haven't really gone past Mark 4 and Matthew 13 that speaks about the same session that Jesus taught these parables. But here in Mark chapter 4 is a very short parable. And I want us to look at this and see how it has relevance to us today and how we can apply it to our lives or how we can reap the fruit of it through the application of it. Here in Mark 4 verse 26, and he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I mean, such a short parable. Who have you heard this parable before? I'm sure some of you must have read it before. I want us to read it again, just in the Amplified Bible, because it puts it beautifully. And he said to them, the kingdom of God is like a man who throws seed on the ground. And he goes to bed at night and gets up every day. And in the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How he does this, he does not know. The earth produces crop by itself, first the blade, then the head of grain. And when the mature grain in the head... But when the crop ripens, he immediately puts in the sickle to reap because the time for harvest has come. Now, this is a very interesting parable. And I want us to look at this. It's found here in the book of Mark. It's called the parable of the growing seed. And this parable falls right between the parable of the sower that we have spoken about and the parable of the mustard seed. Remember the parable of the mustard seed? That the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the garden. Yet, when it grows, it becomes the largest plant. And its branches spreads out where the birds of the air finds rest in it. Remember that? We know the parable of the sower very well, of the sower that sowed seed. And the seed fell on different types of soil. And it had a different response to the seed. And we spend a lot of time around this parable of the sower, the sowing of the word of the kingdom, and how men respond to it differently. And the response to the seed has a different effect on us. But right in between the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed is this parable of the growing seed. And I think one of the first things for us to ask is, how is it relevant to us today? How does this impact us? And I want us to continue and look at this theme, because as Jesus started to teach about the kingdom of God, we see he gave a series of parables in one session. This parable was not in isolation. It was part of a series of parables that Jesus was preaching in one session. And in the middle of the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed comes this parable of the growing seed. What does it mean, this theme of sowing seed, growing of seed, and then the reaping of a harvest? What can we learn of the kingdom of God from this short parable? Now, before I continue, as you all know, next term is the third term of the year, and we're really trusting that in the third term, we will have a more outward focus into our community. We're really going to trust God to push the line. And for those of you that have been part of the church for a while, you know, when we came to Hermanus, it's one of the words that God gave us. That we're coming here not to do something new or to do something different, but to be part of what God is already doing. And that the church in Hermanus has been advancing the kingdom for decades. But over the years, the church got wounded. It took shots. And it started to dig in defensively. It started to dig trenches to protect itself. And that the church is no longer pushing the line, it's simply holding the line. And one of the words that God encouraged us with coming here is that we have come to be reinforcements, fresh legs to the battlefield. That we should not just push the line or hold the line, but that we should start pushing the line again. That we should get out of the trenches and advance the kingdom. Advance the kingdom. And how do we advance the kingdom? Simply by the saving of souls. That is how the kingdom of God advances, when people move from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's in that context, the third term, that we really want to encourage the church for next term, that we collectively combine our efforts to have an outward focus deliberately. That we can start pushing the line again. So with this in mind, that as we're going through these parables, that I'm trusting that God would speak to us about this new term of outward focus, of pushing the line. It's really about inviting those outside of the church to come closer to the kingdom. That's really what it's about. Sometimes we get so comfortable in church. We get comfortable in church. We get comfortable with the fact that we are saved and that we have come into the kingdom. And we grow in our understanding and in our confidence in our identity of being part of the kingdom. But we lose focus. We lose focus of the fact that God has called us not just to be part of the kingdom, but to advance the kingdom. And so many times we see Christians come to churches all over the world Sunday after Sunday. And Jesus says, but the harvest is plentiful. Harvest is plentiful, and we used to be part of that harvest. We used to be lost, and then we were saved, and we celebrate this great joy of being saved, of being in the kingdom, and all of a sudden we've forgotten about the lost. We've forgotten about the harvest. And so Jesus declares, and he says, but the harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. So pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, and that's really what the next term is about. The next term is really about us as believers, as children of God, to be sent out back into the harvest and to really focus and trust and put out our faith and our effort to see the lost come in. That's really what it's about. It's also to see the hurt, the offended, the isolated, to find a spiritual home again. You know, there are so many Christians out there that got hurt in church. There are so many Christians that were offended in church, that was rejected by church. There are so many Christians that have lost faith in church and are simply drifting along. And that makes them vulnerable. It makes them vulnerable not just to the devil, but it makes them vulnerable to deception and all kinds of other things. And they miss out of this glorious fellowship and union and protection and blessing that there is in church. So it's not just to reach out to the lost, but to reach out to the hurt and the offended and the isolated and to draw them back to church. And then, of course, it's also to reach out to the lukewarm and the carnal Christian that have compromised, that have moved away from their first love and their passion to pursue God, and other things have become more important in their life, and they are drifting away further and further. This is an opportunity for us to reach out to those who are outside and to draw them in. So I really want to encourage all of us to really put out our focus for next term, to really trust God to use us to bring others closer to Him, that we will get out of the trenches. Get out of the trenches. I know it's safe here. I know it's safe here. This is a safe space. Jesus once asked His disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And they had many answers to that question. You know, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're a great prophet. And then Jesus asked them this powerful question, "But who do you say I am?" And then Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah, you are the Son of God." And Jesus' response to him was, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And on this I will build my church." So you are Peter, but on this rock I will build my church. On this revelation of who I am. And then he said something, and he said that, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It means the church is meant to advance against hell, and hell will not prevail. That's what church is about. Yes, church is a safe place. Yes, church is a place where we can recover, where we can be healed, where we can be restored. But ultimately, this is a kingdom advancing against another. And the good news is, the victory is already won. Jesus already overcame sin, death, the devil, the powers, the principalities. He has disarmed them and made them a public spectacle. And then He's telling us as the church, now go and take what is yours. So I want to encourage you, every third term of the year, we want to really combine our effort and our faith, and we really want to get out of our trenches, get out of our comfort zone, and get into the battle for souls. Really trust God that people will get saved, that the lost will be found, that the disillusioned, the offended, the hurt will be healed, and that those who are far off, that are compromising and lukewarm and drifting, that they will return to the Lord. And that's really what this next term is about. So I want to encourage you all to combine your faith in this next term. And with that, practically, it means whether it is to lead a small group, many of us are already leading small groups, but we put out an invitation for next term that anybody who wants to lead a small group can lead a small group. I mean, if you have a desire to lead a small group, we want to give you an opportunity to lead a small group. Yes, we're going to have training for those one day training, so don't worry. But what we want to do is we want us all to get out of our trenches, out of our comfort zone, and into the harvest. So whether it is to lead a small group, and we will give you some tools and equipping to do that, or whether it is to actually join a small group. There's about 200 or so members in our small groups, but we know there are more that are not in our small groups. And if you've never been part of a small group, for the third term, we want to encourage you to join a small group. And the reason you join a small group is not for yourself as much as it is to invite one of your friends or colleagues, or the waiter, or the petrol attendant, whosoever, invite them to small group that you are attending. So it's much easier to invite a friend to come to a small group where you are attending for 8 weeks. And it's just 8 weeks. It's a small cycle of 8 weeks. We want to encourage you to either lead a group or join a group with a friend. But invite a friend, invite a colleague, invite a stranger. But come to small group. Let's get out of our trenches. Or maybe it will be a good opportunity next term to start an interest group. In other words, you know, if you like mountain biking, start a mountain biking group, or running, or sewing, or knitting, or cooking. But start something that you can invite those who are outside to come closer. Or, of course, so important, another thing that you can do is just simply to join our intercession for next term. Just commit yourself for one term to join us in intercession, either on Tuesday mornings at 6 or on Sunday mornings just before the service, to come together to really see God's face and really to ask God for the harvest. You know, the psalm says, ask me for the nations and I'll give it to you as an inheritance. And sometimes we don't have, like the word says, you don't have because you don't ask. So, you know, the harvest starts simply with this basic step of faith, of getting out our comfort zone and asking God, seeking God, pursuing the lost. Really, the Great Commission is so powerful when Jesus speaks to us as his final instruction to what we are meant to do while we're waiting for his return. It is when he says, all authority in heaven and earth had been given to me, therefore, because I have now done everything, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always. I'll be with you. I will be with you. Yes, Jesus is with us in our trenches. He is. But Jesus is passionate when we get out of it, because that's where he's at. He's with the lost. That's where his heart is at. So I want to encourage you. We want to advance the kingdom, not just to see the harvest, but reap it. So what can we learn from this simple parable in this context? What can we learn? First, like I said before, this was not given in isolation, but rather as part of a series. And if you look at the three parables, this theme of sowing, of growing, and reaping, in this message that Jesus is speaking about the kingdom, you see that all these parables are linked to one another, not just in this theme of seed being sown, seed growing, and a harvest coming, but it's linked to one another in that it was given in the same sermon. And also, the other actually complements one another. And it actually brings a different dimension. It puts a spotlight in a different aspect of the kingdom. So what is these parables telling us? What is this picture that Jesus is painting for us? Now, the first parable was the parable of the sower that speaks of the different kinds of soils, the different responses to the word of God. That was the primary message. And we spend a lot of time on that. But when you look very closely, in light of it, in light of evangelism, of stepping out of the trench and starting to advance the kingdom, in other words, spreading the gospel, the good news, sharing what God has done for us. In light of that, if you look closer to this parable, you see it's very interesting that the sower went out to sow, but he sowed indiscriminately. The sower sowed everywhere. And I think this is important for us to note as we get out of our trenches, as we start to push the line, when we start to spread the good news, when we start to share the gospel, when we talk about Jesus, or we share our testimony, when we pray, when we put out our faith, it's so interesting to note that the sower sowed everywhere, not just on the good soil. As a farmer, I know you don't sow seed on the wayside. You don't sow it among the rocks. You don't sow it among the thorns. But you sow it only on the good soil. But this parable, when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God, he says the kingdom of God is like a sower who sowed his seed. And with this, we can be encouraged that, you know what, sometimes we are so afraid of sowing on the wrong place that we never sow. We're so afraid that my testimony and my story and the gospel is towards the wrong people, at the wrong place, at the wrong time. But this parable says, no, the sower went and sowed indiscriminately everywhere. So one of the things that we can learn from these parables is that, you know, when you share the gospel, don't be afraid where you share it. Share it everywhere. Share it everywhere. Because you never know You never know. But sometimes we are so afraid to share it at the wrong place that we never share it at all. But the parable encourages us to share it everywhere. Also, the other encouraging thing about this parable of the sower, and I say it's encouraging because sometimes we get discouraged when not all the seed produce fruit. Sometimes we've tried to sow somewhere and it didn't produce anything and we become discouraged. So we are hesitant to sow again. Because I think sometimes we have this wrong expectation that whenever we preach the gospel, people will be saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches us through the example of Jesus and the disciples. That's not what Jesus teaches. As a matter of fact, in this parable, only 25% of the seed sown actually produced a crop. I mean, lots of the seed that was sown produced nothing. And in that, I say it's encouraging because we don't need to be under pressure to think that everything that we share will be received. That every time I share my testimony and every time I tell about the goodness and the love of God, that people will respond to it positively. Now, take courage in that is not the pressure nor the expectation. Sometimes we're under such pressure that we must be effective every single time. But this is not what the parable teaches. The sower sowed everywhere, but only 25% of what he sowed actually produced. So sometimes we are so afraid because of an experience that we had once or twice. I'm going to encourage you, keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. Keep on sowing. You see, the responsibility of the sower is not the growing of the seed. The responsibility of the sower is to sow the seed. That's a great encouragement. When I was a young Christian, I felt like a failure because not all my sowing produced something. Until the Lord showed me the parable. It changed my life. All of a sudden, I realized my responsibility is not the growing of the seed. My responsibility is the sowing of the seed. Hey, that's why I come here every Sunday. You know, my responsibility is to share the gospel in a loving, real, truthful manner. It's my responsibility. That's all our responsibility. What the seed does is not my responsibility. We'll get to that. But I want to encourage you, when you sow, don't feel under pressure that it's your responsibility to make it grow. No, it's your responsibility to sow it. Like I say, you know what, when we listen to Jesus' other teaching about, you know, the parable of the talents, you know, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, and the parable of the miners, the 10 miners given to all. I've realized one thing. One day, we have all been given seed. We've all been given the gospel. We've all been saved. We've all been saved by the same grace. We've all been saved by the same God. We've all been given the same Spirit. We've all been given this treasure. We've all been given bags of seed. One day when I stand in heaven, just make sure that your bag is empty. It's all that matters. Our responsibility is to sow the seed everywhere. That's why Jesus says, wherever you go, make disciples. Just sow the seed. It was so powerful because in historical context, initially, if you study church history, it's fascinating. Initially, Christianity was limited to Jerusalem and Judea. Was within Israel. As a matter of fact, the early Christians thought that Christianity is only for the Jews. Remember this whole debate between Paul and Peter? And the gospel didn't really spread until the Romans came to destroy Jerusalem. And the persecution came and the Christians went everywhere. And you know what they did? I shared the gospel everywhere. So wherever you go, spread the gospel. Wherever you go, just sow it. Just sow it. It's not your responsibility what happens to it. Our responsibility is to sow. That's why I'm saying, just make sure one day when you stand before the Lord that your bag of seed, it's empty. So sow your seed. Sow your seed. So the parable of the growing seed is so interesting because it almost clarifies this point. Just after the parable of the sower, Jesus tells the parable of the growing seed. And it speaks of the fact that we are not the one responsible for the germination of the seed. And now let's just read that again here from verse 26. There we go.